100 word stories.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Oh, sorry. It's not even Christmas. Hi, this is Lauren Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. Okay, so I posted this video for work, and one of the responses was, Lawrence has a soothing voice. It's like, oh man, I put people to sleep. So, hey, 100 Word Stories podcast, one a day until the day I die, weekly challenge. I post the topic, you come up with the story. Hey, here are your stories, guys. Jeffrey, Charlie, Richard, Lizzie, Tom, John, Tura, Serendipity, Norval Joe, Leanna, and a man with a, no, Planet Z. And a man with a zoo. I was at the zoo yesterday, and briefly, there was a company thing there, looked around a few animals, this and that, you know the drill. And, walked around. There were protesters screwing up traffic. There's this statue of Sam Houston, all this talk of, he owned slaves, it must come down, he was white and old and dead, and all this stuff. And it's like, well, guess what? The original protest, I think, was fake, and so the counter-protest shows up, and it's all these people waving these flags around and stuff. And it's like, okay, I hate all protests that screw up traffic. And as for the statue, I hate traffic circles. It's a roundabout there, and we're not used to roundabouts here. And it really messes things up, especially when, say, people are filling the area and the cops are cordoning off everything. I hate all freaking protests or stuff that screw up traffic. I mean, there was this Take Back the Night bicycle thing, and I was trying to get to Kroger, and it completely cut us off. I hate the marathon because it cuts us off. I mean, it's just anything that fucks up traffic. And yeah, I know, I'm the kind of person that's like, well, just hop on a bus. It fucks up the bus. It fucks up bicycles. Well, there are all these bicycles. Yeah, but if you're on a bicycle, you can't cross it because the police are doing, no, no, no. It's like, well, I'll just join it for these 2 feet. It's so freaking stupid. You know, well, why don't you be patient? Just go so. Well, where's a site you can go that's like, we're going to fuckuptraffic.com? I know, it would be helpful. Anyway, I've rambled enough, I'm bitching, blah, blah, blah. I should say happy stuff like lavender lemonade. I make that, it's really good. You take a quarter cup of lavender, you put it in a pitcher of boiling water along with a cup of honey, you shake it up and then you steep it for like 20, 25 minutes, and then you strain it into another pitcher, and how much water you use, I don't know, like, 3-4 cups of boiling water, 5-6, how dilute do you want it? I don't know. And then you strain it, add like a cup of lemon juice to the other pitcher, and then fill it up so that you've got like, I don't know, a gallon. There are lots of recipes out there for this, but it's really good. And I like it really dilute, so it's a subtle flavor. So there, lavender lemonade. That's what you can drink while listening to these stories.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And a shout out to Muncie. I hope you're on the mend and get better real soon. And my story this evening is called Shell Game. The symbol of the way is the clamshell. The Camposito de Santiago starts at Saint-Jean in Paris, a church oddly built by a Parisian butcher's guild, and for further oddity, Master Magus, Nicholas Flamel, is buried under the floor. But I digress. The way, 1,010 miles of unrelenting Pilgrim's Progress, is littered with guys selling clamshells. In fact, the devil himself runs a stand somewhere outside of Brigo's. I bought a rather appointed brass scallop, autographed on the back. Best of luck, D. P.S. Don't drink the water. His shop is called Too Clever by 2030ths. Drop by. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Exoskeleton by John DeCleese. Basically, what you want is to get hard, stiff. You want to be able to manage your protoplasm so as to make it do more than lie there gelatinously. The two most popular methods are exoskeletons and endoskeletons. Each will allow you to be more than a few centimeters in size. Once you can stand up, you can start branching out. You can be a redwood tree or a brachiosaur, and you can start mixing your metaphorical erectile equipage. Limited stiffening of members without bones, though lots of creatures keep the bones in their erections. I simply evolved a shell.
A trio of shell stories today. I came out of my shell when I turned 80. I was a shy girl for so many unhappy and unfulfilled years. Things changed when I learned how to write and when I adopted a pack of miniature Italian greyhounds. I struggled with the writing, joined a couple of writing workshops, and soon found my afternoons filled with joy and new adventures. I designed costumes for my dogs, and matching outfits for myself. Last Saturday, while at a local farm supply store, I made some new friends. Today, I am joining them in their commune at the edge of town. 2. The shell, as described by the master, is opaque film we surround ourselves with when our state of mind is disturbed by words and actions of the lesser species. The shell ultimately shields us from the doltish words and thoughts of those that are primarily occupied with their own imagined greatness. Many of these beings have hypnotized themselves, and they believe they are skilled, imaginative, and far beyond their adopted minions. Under this haze of delusion, they find their way to lead many by sheer persistence and intimidation. I find this a common trait of office managers and popular bloggers. 3. At the beach a few years ago, I held a large, pink, conch shell to my ear. I was surprised by the grand sound that emanated from the conch. It was the London Symphony, I'm sure. It was O Fortuna by Carmina Burana. I was stricken. I was dizzy. I stumbled and lost my balance. I called out to my friend, nearby, to come and listen to the shell. I put the shell to her ear, and her face lit up. She laughed. She was listening to Chelsea Clinton describe the correlation of diabetes and childhood marriage with climate change.
Hey everyone, Leanna back again after a couple weeks hiatus. Hopefully I can stay on track better from here on out. For this week's challenge number 581, I think, I have the following story titled, Under the Covers. Every day I would pull Donnie a little further out of his shell. We'd take it slow and carefully, making sure he wasn't hurt in the process. On the harder days, I would start with a story, something to relax him before we gave it a try. If he was feeling particularly stubborn, I'd bribe him with some cupcakes. On the day he was free, I drove him down to the beach before the crowd started gathering, and we silently watched the waves until he was ready to toss his shell into the sea. We held hands and joyfully wept.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com and of the YA Books podcast. And this is my entry for weekly challenge number 581 with the prompt of Shell. Here's my story. We had one friend who always kept to himself. He rarely spoke, and when he did, sometimes it was with a foreign accent. We figured that someday he would come out of his shell. But who would he be when he did? Would he still be our friend? Would he be the enigmatic leader of a multi-million-dollar corporation? Would he be an actor who only spoke when performing eloquently on stage? Would he be a criminal mastermind, or an elusive hitman, or a charismatic cult leader? Then, one day, we heard it. Meow. Space Turtle. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. The building was just an empty shell. An excellent development opportunity. Plenty of scope for expansion, ripe for modernization, and perfect for a multitude of purposes, both commercial and residential. Just leave the walls as they are. Seriously, don't touch them. By all means, apply a lick of paint, give them a good rub down, and spruce them up. But don't even think about structural alterations. Leave the walls standing, just as you find them. Unless you really want to find more than you bargain for. Leave the bodies where I laid them to rest. For your own sake.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. Marcy was infuriatingly opinionated and wasn't shy about it either. When the office organized a field trip to an old castle, she blabbered on and on during the whole trip, driving everyone crazy. The visit to the castle went well. The group went left while Marcy was checking the rooms to the right. Then, someone found the lighthouse, and there was an evil twinkle in their eyes. Marcy! She trotted unwarily into the abandoned lighthouse at the edge of the garden. When they blocked the door, leaving her inside, they knew the days at the office would be far quieter. And this is my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com. And I hope you have a great week. Bye-bye.
Toadrubber Zino here with a story on the subject, shell. The best-kept secret of Italian cuisine is la nesra, a mélange of fermented shellfish. Begin with a catch of live mussels, and spread them on a sunny beach to dehydrate. When they are on the point of dying, revive them in brine. Repeat this, keeping them only just alive. Then pound them in a barrel to release the juices of decomposition, and store in a dark place to ferment. The maker must sample his own la nesra, and if he survives it, the whole village will be eager to share. About 50 deaths a year result from improperly prepared la nesra. Buon appetito!
Good morning, everyone. It's Jeffrey Fisher here for week 581 on the topic of shell. Muncie, I hope you are recovering from whatever ailed you and you'll be back on the party bus soon rather than later. My story today is called Shell Game. Switch, switch, switch. Faster than the eye could see. And then the pitch. Care to guess which one hides the pea, sir? Money exchanges hands. The mark points. The con man reveals the pea is elsewhere. So sorry. Try again? It's amazing how many people fall for the scam. Do people send money to Nigerian princes, too? I suppose they must. Aha, you say, surely there's a 1 in 3 chance of winning just by sheer luck. Luck has nothing to do with a good con. I dematerialize the pea while the rube is picking, and materialize it under a shell the rube doesn't pick. The house wins 100% of the time. Sure, perhaps a teleportation device has better uses than a chi puzzle, but this game is so satisfying. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning. This is Richard. I have no idea who you are. You may have a tag inside your shirt, which will tell you. I've 2 stories this week, based on the topic of shell. The first is called Seashell. Hold a shell to your ear, and you'll hear the sound of the sea. That's what my parents told me on my first trip to the beach. What they didn't tell me was to first drain the damn thing. So I ended up with an ear full of salty, sandy, cold water. It was a couple of years before I tried it again, this time suffering a nasty nip from the hermit crab lurking inside. The last time I encountered a shell on the sand was in 1944, Omaha Beach. German artillery blew my head clean off. Okay, second attempt of story number 2, thanks to the coughing fit in the middle. This is evolution. The Darwin bird inhabits an alternative universe, where survival of the thickest is the evolutionary norm. Concepts like bigger, stronger, faster, better hold no sway, and the key to survival lies in developing ever greater obstacles to perpetuating the species. The Darwin bird has achieved near perfection in this regard, having evolved an eggshell so tough that its chicks can never hatch. They are doomed to shrivel and die before ever having seen the light of day. Quite how the Darwin bird survives is unknown, although it's quite possible this particular evolutionary theory is, in fact, complete nonsense. And after that complete nonsense, I shall leave you to some more. So until next time, goodbye.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Normally, I fill up the tank at the nearby Exxon station. I collect plenty points, and I can turn those into free gallons of gas. There was a new offer on their website, Speed Pass on my smartphone. 3 tanks equals $20 worth of plenty points. The problem is, you need to photograph a QR code on the pump to pay that way. And a lot of station franchisees haven't yet marked their pumps. I find that frustrating and annoying. So I'm going to the Shell station across the street. It's the same prices without the lies. Well, not yet.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic. I didn't even say the topic in the intro. On the topic of Shell. I mean, you can look at the website, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. It's right up there. Thank you all for being a part of this. And the next topic is, I can't believe that. Or something like that. Play around with it. Shuffle it up. Or if there's a topic that I haven't selected, and you're like, oh, you never took my topic. Use your topic. Do whatever. Have fun with it. I mean, why would you be doing this if it isn't fun? Are you sentenced to it? Are you punishing yourself? Don't punish yourself. Have fun. Okay. And what else? I don't know, that's it. One a day until the day I die.com. Once again, thank you all for being a part of it and enjoying. If you didn't enjoy, hit stop. You probably did stop before. If you're really enjoying, hit the back button and listen to it again. Oh, and there are, like, tons of stories in the archives. So, I mean, you could listen for years and years and years, I bet. By the time you get all the way through it, you've forgotten all the ones at the beginning. So, listen again. And, as always, keep it brief.